That sarin gas is triple nasty. Breathe it, you die. Taste it, you die.
Suddenly, the dirt before them exploded with tremendous force. The man sitting next to Bollinger was decapitated. His head toppled forward into his lap and bounced out of the shadows, landing face up in the starlight. The still thrashing body beside them was suddenly jerked backward, out of sight, into a hole that hadn't been there moments before. Bollinger jumped to his feet. Just then, the other soldier was seized around the waist from behind before he could rise. He was seized and shaken so violently and so rapidly that his body actually blurred before Bollinger's astonished eyes. Caught in that monstrous, crushing grip, the trooper couldn't break free, nor could he breathe or scream. All the poor bastard could do was kick his legs and flail his arms as his ribs collapsed. The monster tried to burrow into the dirt, stopped by the man's body still in its grip. The second time the soldier hit the hole, he doubled over like a rag doll at the waist and vanished. Bollinger vaulted away from the bank. He hadn't clearly seen what had just taken his men. He was left with a vague impression of smooth, domed heads, like the noses of 500-pound bombs, and heavy, powerful jaws. Jaws that could cleanly sever a human neck in a single bite. Whatever the hell they were very large, very quick, and very deadly. When he glanced down the arroyo behind him, his heart sank. In starlight, the dry river channel was alive with movement. Glistening, sinuous movement as the earth vomited forth dozens upon dozens of black, segmented creatures. They poured out of the ground and slithered toward him, moving like streaking shadows above the sand. Even if he could have hit them, there were too many for him to shoot.
Oh shit. Oh shit.
Bollinger turned and broke into an all-out sprint. He felt good, felt strong, light and fast on his feet. Thanks to a jet-assisted adrenaline rush, he could make it. He was sure he could make it. He had to make it. He pushed past his own limits, trying to put as much distance between the muties and himself as he could. If he could make them give up hope of catching him, he had a chance. That was the only way he was going to reach the Ville alive. He didn't think about how far he'd run, or how far he had to go, until his legs started burning and growing heavier and heavier. His pace faltered. He began to stumble. He knew then that he wasn't going to make it. In that last moment of despair, he begged his doomed friends in Sunspot for forgiveness and cursed the god that had abandoned them all. Something heavy latched onto his right ankle and wouldn't let go. As he dragged it along with him, the creature writhed and shook its head. The savage movement caused its serrated jaws to sever tendons and ligaments and score deeply into the bone. Hot blood squished inside Bollinger's right boot. His foot went dead. In the distance, he could see the firelights of Sunspot. Help was far away. Too far away. Pain lanced into his other leg, and he tripped, crashing face down in the sand. The creature swept over him in a chitinous wave. Rolling over onto his back, he instinctively raised his hands to cover his face, which opened his torso to attack. Once the 2-foot-long black worms sank their jaws in his belly, there was no getting them out. While he pulled and pounded on the powerful armored bodies and the rippling rows of scratchy bug feet, the worms shook, snapped, and burrowed in a frenzy. He could hear his ribs breaking like dry sticks, and then they were squirming inside his torso, fighting over the choicer bits. Only when one of them made a meal of Bollinger's beating heart did his agony end.